I was thinking about it and maybe think that I could not offer something different, but now I realize that I do, and that clients like working with me and they found it different.
When I was a little girl playing in my father's office, I dreamed of learning how to code. But my dad wasn't a coder, he was a businessman, and I never got to learn how, and it's been something that I've been curious about my whole life. And now, like, this whole world is startup and tech crazy, and I just want to know how to code too. Hack Reactor makes coding professionally go from being a dream and something that you just desire to have to really being a legitimate programmer. You could get a job straight away after. Even if you've been curious and you want to improve your skills and you're working in the marketing department and you happen to have to learn how to do HTML and you want to take your steps that much further, you got to check out Hack Reactor. Hack Reactor is the trusted environment, academic level education to go to become the best programmer that you could possibly be. Not only will you get the education, but you'll get the support from them to make sure that you're not alone in the journey. HackReactor.com. Welcome back to the Women in Tech podcast. I am here with Blanca today in Barcelona, Spain, at the incredible Tech City, which is this awesome hub of startups in Barcelona. Barcelona is becoming one of the leading tech cities in Europe, and it is just like ridiculously awesome to connect with such wonderful people. And Blanca, this is your first podcast interview, right?
Yeah, it is.
That, you know what's really advanced about that is most people like don't even know what a podcast is half the time.
Okay.
So, you know what a podcast is, you're already like golden.
Okay.
So go ahead and tell me, like, go ahead and introduce yourself and tell me about your company.
Okay. My name is Blanca. I have been working as a lawyer for big law firms since the last 8 years. 3 months ago, I decided to create my own law firm. It's called The Code Legal Advisors. I have a partner that is not a lawyer, it's a business consultant. And so decide to start it like this.
And that's D-Code. So if you guys want to like look it up, if I remember correctly, it's D-C-O-D-E. And then what's the rest of the URL?
Legal Advisors.
So DCodeLegalAdvisors.com?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. And so when did you first fall in love with technology?
Well, I first fell in love with transactions and investment process. And when I had the opportunity to work with startups and startups involved in technology was where I found that I really enjoy doing that job.
And like, what was it about it?
I had been working in really big law firms for I think it's almost 10 years. And I learned a lot from them. I like it a lot. But I found that there was a ceiling there in order to work like I wanted in two different ways. One thing was that I don't know why all these law firms are ruled and managed by men. And for a woman, it's really difficult to grow professionally speaking. And on the other side was that these big law firms, of course, they have to make big revenues because they are measured by their revenues and how they grow. So this makes that the professionals have a lot of pressure on billable hours, on having a good time rate. And this sometimes don't allow yourself to dedicate or spend time and dedication to the projects maybe that are for you really interesting, but they don't generate a lot of profit. So I really wanted to work in the projects that I like, whatever was the fee or the cost, because I love my work.
What have you noticed some of the advantages are in building a company here in Barcelona versus somewhere else from a legal standpoint?
Well, I don't think that there's a big difference between building here in Barcelona than in another big city around Europe. Of course, there's a difference from building the company here in Barcelona and in a little city, because here in Barcelona, there is a lot of startup movement and a lot of tech industry and tech new companies. So this gives me a big opportunity to meet new people in this sector and to work with them and try to offer them our services.
And what have you noticed about the typical founder in Barcelona? Like, what kind of questions do they have right away when they come to you?
Well, sometimes our work is to help them to ask themselves the right questions. So all the founders here, because there is a lot of movement in Barcelona regarding startups, have already the ideas that we have to find investors. These are the typical clauses that we will find in an agreement, and this is what we will do. Mm-hmm. And maybe my first job is to talk with them a lot, to understand very well what they are looking for, and then to help them to make the right answers about the investment process.
And is there a certain part of that process that is your absolute favorite?
Yeah, of course. My favorite process is the start point. In the moment when I meet them and they have the opportunity to explain me what are they doing, and I can learn about their projects, and I can learn about what they want to be in the future, for me, it's the most interesting part.
I love it.
And then comes all the legal thing. When when you say, okay, if you want to get there, and we have to find your investors or whatever, and I will help you with all the documents. But the first part, meeting and learning about the projects, for me, it's my favorite.
And in the States, we have certain legal opportunities that if a startup entrepreneur knows about them before incorporating or within like 90 days of incorporating, it saves them a ton of money when they're acquired. But most people aren't even aware that these kinds of opportunities exist. What would you tell, you know, an entrepreneur here in Spain or even in Europe, that something they should think about right away that you find when they come to you like, oh no, you haven't done this yet, you have to do this right away?
Okay. Well, the thing here is that, as we were saying before, there is a lot of movement and a lot of environment around entrepreneurs, and they are really informed about what they have to do in these early stages. Like, for example, they know that they can incorporate the company by telematic means, which is much more cheap, and they don't need to go to the notary, maybe.
What was the word?
Telematic. Like, you can incorporate the usual way to incorporate the company is like by physical signature,
right,
going
right,
to
right.
the notary and whatever.
Yeah.
But there is a process where you can do it all by internet.
Oh, digitally. Yeah, digitally.
Most of them already know that. That's the amazing thing, that they really know legal things that 5 years ago people didn't imagine when they were or didn't knew when they were going to incorporate the company. The other thing maybe I would say to them is there are a lot of organizations and or law firms that for free can give them the advice in a very early stage in order them not to spend time and money in things that are legal issues that don't require their dedication.
What's one thing you've learned about yourself in achieving your dreams?
Well, the thing is that I would never imagine 2 years ago that I was going to build my own company and that it was going to work. It's true that for the moment we have only been working for 3 months, more or less, but it's going quite well. And this is really amazing for me, and I am really proud of it. It was my partner who was the first to tell me that I had to begin the project because we can give something special and different for startups. And I was thinking about it and maybe think that I could not offer something different, but now I realize that I do, and that clients like working with me and they found it different. So I'm really happy about that.
And what's one hurdle or thing that you've overcome in order to start building your own company? Like, what did you learn that has helped you be a better founder?
The thing is, like, building the company, I thought it was just the legal issue to incorporate the company and then to work and offer legal services. And I thought that, for example, building up the website or promoting yourself, it was an easy thing that goes with it. Maybe what I have learned is that I'm not good at all the things, and I have to engage other people
helping me.
So I have learned a lot about other people that have helped me with my brand, with my website, with a lot of things that maybe were not important before for me, and now I realize that they are really, really important.
It's so funny. It's it comes up often that it is a powerful thing to be able to ask for help.
Yeah.
It's not weak. It doesn't mean you're not competent. It's actually, there's a strength in saying, here's what I could do and here's how I could be most effective and let me get help and support for my...
Yeah, and you learn a lot doing this.
Yeah, 100%.
You learn a lot and you find other possibilities that maybe you have not think about them before.
And if somebody is new to wanting to start a company themselves, what's one of the resources you would tell them to explore in learning how to start their own company?
The thing is that I'm not sure about that because I did it maybe so quickly. I was working one day in the big four firm that I was working for, and next day I incorporated my company. So maybe what I would say to them is, don't do it like this, take time. Go to the organizations here in Barcelona that helps entrepreneurs or founders, because there are a lot of them.
Like, what are some of them?
Like Barcelona Activa, like Waira, like, I don't know, there are lots. And
you guys will include this in the show notes, so you could check out the different resources that exist in Barcelona. You could message me those.
But maybe the best one is Barcelona Activa, because they help you, for example, with what we were talking about regarding incorporating tramites and taxes and all these issues. And they help you for free, and they give you very easy tips to follow. And I think they are quite helpful.
So Barcelona Activa.
Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah, and you guys Google that, but we'll also include it in the show notes.
Okay.
And how can people connect with you?
People can contact me also in my email, for sure, and via LinkedIn.
And what is your email?
It's blanca at decodelegal.com.
Perfect. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you so much, Blanca, for hanging out with the Women in Tech podcast.
Thank you to you.
I'm so, so happy that you could be here. And I think that your story is really inspiring. I actually love that you just one day were at your job and the next day incorporated and went after it. I think that's the coolest.
Yeah, it was crazy.
So much success to you. If you guys want to connect with more incredible women in tech like Blanca, go to womenintechvip.com. That's womenintechvip.com. It takes you straight to the Facebook group to keep things really easy. And as you guys know, you could always tweet at me at Women in Tech Show or at Esprit Devora. Thank you so much, Blanca.
Thank you very much.
I will talk to you guys later. Bye.
This episode of the Women in Tech Show is powered by UpGuard. UpGuard's discovery engine brings visibility to complex IT environments, enabling teams to quickly identify risk, confirm compliance, and make business safer. They are proud supporters and employers of incredible women in tech. To be notified every time a new Women in Tech episode is released, simply text Women in Tech to 310-872-2423. That's 310-872-2423. To support the Women in Tech Show, it's super easy. All you need to do is start doing your Amazon shopping by clicking on this link first, womenintechshow.com/Amazon. That's womenintechshow.com/Amazon. The Women in Tech Show is hosted by Esprit Devora, edited by MKW Films, show notes provided by Carl Marty, music by Jay Huffman Live. The Women in Tech Show is a WeAreTech.fm production.